Welcome to the Susan Sly Project, where entrepreneurs rule, startups launch, and the side hustle becomes the main hustle. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Susan Sly.
All right, everyone. Well, what is up, side hustlers? It is wonderful to be here with you. I want to acknowledge you wherever you are, whether you're on YouTube or Spotify or iTunes, or you saw this on Instagram or on Facebook or wherever it was, LinkedIn, Twitter, everywhere, I guess. I have a question for you. Is fear paralyzing you? You know, I was doing a lot of research lately on fear and looking at the proliferation of fear, especially as people have gone through COVID and job uncertainty and business uncertainty. And there is a lot of fear in the world. And so I was sitting there and going, who can I bring on that is number one in the world, in my humble opinion, that can really help the listeners, the viewers, the fans navigate this? And that is who my guest is today. And I have one quick announcement before we get started and I bring him out. So we have our event, it's online, the Ultimate Marketing Experience, coming up September 25th and 26th. It's going to be amazing. You will learn strategies in how to optimize your Instagram and Facebook ads. You will learn how to optimize YouTube by someone who has a channel with over 1.3 million followers and has never spent a cent on advertising. You're going to learn how to podcast from the number one podcaster in the world in his category, Casey Adams. You are going to hear from Dennis Yu, who's the global Facebook expert. And on top of that, Mr. Dave Asprey, who's written 3 New York Times bestsellers, had a Silicon Valley exit of over $600 million. He's our opening keynote. And then NFL great, and once the smallest player in the league, Mr. J.J. Burden is also going to be keynoting. So you can check it out. The tickets are on sale now at umeonline.live. So with that, I want to get into the show today. And my guest is, I was saying just before we started the show, that I said, truly one of my most famous humans. There are different types of leaders, and I bring it down to two kinds, light switch leaders and legacy leaders. The light switch leader is that person looking for the quick fix. They want a title, they want a rank, they want to achieve something, win a car, and then that's it, they're done. And the legacy leaders are really looking at the long game. And so this gentleman is the CEO of Ziglar Inc., and he carries on the Ziglar family philosophy, which is this: you can have everything in life you want if you will just help enough other people get what they want. He was a key collaborator on his father Zig Ziglar's 30th book, Born to Win, which I read. And it's a profoundly simple philosophy, which is you must plan to win, prepare to win, then and only then can you expect to win. His first solo title, Choose to Win, published and released in March 2019, expands on the Ziglar branding and philosophy to include the secret to winning at life is one good choice at a time. So he speaks all over the world, well, currently virtually, to multi-billion dollar companies, small business owners, prestigious academic institutions, and including Cambridge and Harvard. So there you go. And leadership and the business philosophy are the top topics. So with that, welcome to the show, Tom Ziglar. It's great to have you here.
All right. So grateful to be here. Thanks for inviting me on.
Well, Tom, I want to jump out super quick. You know, there are people listening right now who are paralyzed with fear. They're stuck. They set goals for themselves at the beginning of the year and they're saying, yes, I wanted to grow a business. I want to start a business. I wanted to pivot in my career, and they're paralyzed. What's the first thing that comes to mind that you want to say to them?
Wow. I mean, this is such a huge, huge situation, a huge topic right now. And you know, and it's just magnified because not only is this fear going on, but we've lost our connection. You know, our we live in a Zoom world. We used to solve problems with other people face to face, and now it's all virtual. And people have mentioned to me over and over, hey, I'm waking up in the middle of the night. You know, it's like that anxiousness, that worry, that fear of what's going to happen next. What am I going to do? And how do I break the cycle? And that's really the key. And so there's some very, very foundational things that anyone can do. And, you know, I look at it this way. The first thing is we got to recognize that we're dealing with it. I mean, this is a real thing. You and I were talking earlier, and I said I'm kind of nerdy. I started studying pandemics. I started studying black swan events. And the people who, and this is throughout history, the people who do the best in a situation like this are the ones who let go of the past first. The ones who say, you know what, it's probably never going back to where it was. And so what that allows you to do is to grieve about it, right? Because we all miss that. But it allows you to embrace what's happening right now. And that's where the key is. You see, if you don't have any hope, then you'll do nothing. But if you have hope, you'll take action. And so here's the question. If you're dealing with fear, here's the question. What's something I can do right now that would make my personal life, my family life, my business life, my social life better? What's something I could do health-wise? Could I drink some water? Could I take a walk? Could I send somebody a quick text saying I love them? I mean, these are all little things that we can do. And so Dad had this quote. He said, logic will not change an emotion, but action will. So it's very hard to think yourself out of fear. And so one of the first exercises that I recommend is, if the fear's getting you, if the worry's getting you, if the anxiety's getting you, sit down for a moment and write a gratitude list. Everything you can think of, right? All the things that you look around and you go, oh, well, I've got this. Oh, well, that happened. Oh, I'm grateful for them. Because fear and gratitude can't occupy the same space. Second, once you get that done, just remember why you do what you do in the first place. What's important? What's your purpose? You see, when we start with the why, when we understand why we do it anyway, is it our family? You know, do we have a calling, a mission in life that we want to accomplish? Is it our kids? You know, maybe it's, you know, we've got a big target or a goal we're going for, and all of a sudden it's derailed and it seems like we're not going to get there. If we can get clarity on that, it's just like an airplane. An airplane leaves an airport and the winds are strong, it gets blown off course. It doesn't turn around and land again and start over. It makes a course correction when it's in the air. We're in a course correction season right now. So we start with the why. Then we remember what we're grateful for. And then we start to take action. What are little things that we can do that will get us closer to our why? And a big one in all of this is we've got to choose our input. So I remember studying the black swan events of the past. The people who do the best, they stay away from bias. You see, all of us are biased. We might be biased liberal or conservative. We might be biased, you know, pro-mask or anti-mask. It doesn't really matter. We've all got that in us. And so here's the key. We need to limit our news type information, our social media information that's negative, to 5 or 10 minutes a day. And then we need to intentionally put the good stuff into our mind, the things that are going to get us closer to our goals, build our relationships, improve our health. And why do we do that? Why is this such a smart thing? Because good information comes from all directions. And the more bias we have, the more likely we are to reject good information. Mm. And so we got to be careful on that.
Tom, I just took two pages of notes with one question. I love it. The fear and gratitude can't live in the same place. That was huge. And I hope that everyone watching and listening gets that. I've been a very disciplined practitioner of writing 10 items of gratitude every single day for, oh gosh, you know, I think I want to like 15 years now. And it goes back to a funny story. So Jim Rohn, I had the privilege of sharing the stage with him the last time he spoke live in Dallas, Texas, many, many years ago. And Jim was a phenomenal human. And he always talked about this ongoing discussion with your dad that was like motivation or education. And so, you know, and they went on like this for a very, very long time. And you just mentioned that, you know, people who stay away from bias, people who are able to understand that we're not going backwards. One of the things I always say is I can't drive down a highway going at, you know, 70 miles an hour, 120 kilometers an hour, wherever you're listening. I can't go that fast if I'm only looking in the rear view mirror because I'm going to crash. People who are, would you say people who are spending a lot of time watching the news that they're going to be stuck because their education that they think they're getting is actually creating a bias for them?
Absolutely. And here's kind of a proof of this. The way you see your future determines your thinking today. Your thinking today determines your performance today. And your performance today has a large bearing on the future you will create. And so if we just look at our culture, our society, and it, you know, you can go bigger than the US, you can go to any country in the world right now. And if people, if they are just consumed with the media and social media and what's going on in everybody's timeline, what's the picture they have of their future? It's probably not so good. And so what that does is it impacts our thinking. And if our thinking's not so good, then our performance isn't going to be so good. And so here's a way to flip the script, right? To change the fear into something else. I believe that the greatest thing we can do as entrepreneurs, as business owners, as people, is to solve other people's problems. I mean, let's face it. When a friend comes to you in need, isn't the greatest thing that we can offer them is the ability to help them get out of that situation? And we can't give something unless we have something to give. And if we're a business owner, isn't the greatest thing that we can do to help somebody through a problem or a business solve a problem? One of my friends, Rabbi Daniel Lappin, he says this, God is never happier with his children than when they're solving the problems of his other children. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of Dad's quote, you can have everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want. So let's flip the script. Are there more problems now than there were? Well, I think 99% of the people are going to say yes. Well, what if we made all those problems? What if we just used the word possibilities? What if we just said, golly, if I'm in the problem-solving business, then it's a target-rich environment. You know, problems are everywhere. And so this is when we study how do people handle crisis, they do – when you get focused on, hey, it's different now, that's okay. What can I do differently? And if you start focusing on the problems that the people you love and serve have, and you start with the motive of helping them out of their situation, suddenly your own situation is going to improve.
Yeah, I think about your dad's quote often. Because sometimes, and I admit it, even me, you know, three companies studying at, you know, MIT right now and kids and life and, you know, everything. And when I get in my head, I always think the first thing I think is, who can I pour greatness into? And I'll tell you a quick story because it's my habit every morning to send at least three heartfelt messages, not just I appreciate you, but something genuinely from the heart. And this morning, I always start my day, Tom, with some prayer and meditation before I look at social media or email or Slack or all the different communication, the WhatsApp, it's so much, right? And this morning, I was sitting there and I was like, you know, it's just that small voice, send a message to this woman, Sina. And so I sent her a message and I said, just so you know, I was praying over you this morning that God would just fill your heart, this void in your heart. And she lost her husband of 30 years a few months ago. And she said, Susan, you won't believe your timing. Today's my anniversary. And I said, today's my anniversary too. And it's amazing how when you turn your focus away from yourself, and I love what you said, it's not about the problems, about the possibilities. You turn on others, you shine a bright light on them. It's amazing how things change. I want to ask you, you know, we're a global show. Ireland is number three. We'll see if the fourth country passes Ireland, but love to everyone in Ireland. Just want to say that. What if someone is listening and their job is one of the ones that has been lost, or their business is lost, and they're saying, Tom, you know, you're part of the greatest motivational family in the history of, you know, the last, millennia. What would you say to that person who's really in a rough spot right now? How do they just get enough courage to put one step in front of the other?
Yeah, that's, you know, and there's literally millions of people going through that. I was talking to an expert a couple of days ago, and best-selling book on happiness. And he said, you know, the whole world is, we've got PTSD at the same time. It's a really, I mean, that's a, you know, different levels of degrees, and that's not to, you know, to downplay people who've had physical trauma and situations like that. But everybody's just kind of taken aback. And for those who've lost their income or their dream business, is a nightmare, right? Because of the situations that have changed. What do you do? And this is where we're seeing a real openness, right? I call it the peeling back of the onion. You know, if you've had relatively good success and you've done things, and you know, you've got some skins on the wall and some trophies in the bookcase, and then you pursue some stuff, you know, and stuff starts to take a bigger percentage of your life, and you start working for the stuff. Well, all of a sudden, people are like, "Wait a second, the stuff is gone." Yeah. You know, it really just comes down to my family, my faith, my friends, my health. And so now is a great time to take inventory and to say, you know, this is the first step. What am I called to do? What am I built for? You know, what is it that gives me that heart, you know, I have three circles that, you know, it's like a Gantt chart, I guess, the three circles that overlap in the middle. You know, ask yourself, what makes your heart sing? If you could do anything, what would it be? You know, you can, it's like you start it and 4 hours later and it feels like 10 minutes. You're still in it. You're still loving it. Second is, what problem do you solve? And this one is, ask yourself, what kind of problems do people bring you? Are they relationship problems? Are they business problems? Because that's a clue, right? If people are bringing you a certain kind of problem, that's probably a gift that you have. And the third one is, what's the biggest challenge you've overcome? I mean, I had a conversation with a guy last week. He was in an accident when he was 16, paralyzed from the waist down, learned to walk again. It took 4 or 5 years. And a couple of years ago, he kicked a 33-year opioid addiction. And it was because of the pain. Now, here's the crazy thing. I asked him, I said, what was the hardest part about kicking it? And he said, it was the fear that I wouldn't be able to live with the pain. It had such a grip on him. Well, he went through the detox, which isn't any fun. And the pain wasn't any worse. And so there's people right now in pain. And so I want you to have this belief, this hope, that when you know your why, your purpose, and you take an inventory of your gifts and talents and the problems that you can solve, and you say, you know what, it's a new day, it's a new time, I can make a new beginning, right? I can start today. And then you start to do the measurable things every day that take you closer to whatever that dream, that why, that goal, that purpose is, whether you feel like it or not. Because remember what we said earlier, you can't think yourself into feeling good. You can't think yourself out of fear. You've got to take action on it. Mm. Right.
That's beautiful. It's powerful. That I love the story you shared about the gentleman addicted to opioids, because often I see this with my kids, that they fear something more than the reality is once they're going through it, like going to the dentist or, you know, whatever it would be, right? And I think very deeply about all of the people who are paralyzed because they're telling themselves a story that something is going to be a lot harder than it is, or people are going to reject them. Your father, you know, world-class sales trainer, and this whole concept that, oh, if I start to build my side hustle and I don't want to do any sales and people are going to reject me and all the stories we tell, you know, I'm sure, Tom, you know a lot of very amazing people who just don't seem to hit their home run because they're so in their head.
That's right. It's the, you know, the story you tell yourself, that's the most powerful story in the world. Yeah. It determines the way you think, your thinking determines your behavior, your mindset, your beliefs. That determines all your results. Seth Godin, who's a good friend, I heard him tell the story first about Ambien. And I don't know, are you familiar with Ambien? It's a sleep aid, right?
Mm-hmm. And I love Seth Godin. I love him, by the way. Yeah.
He's amazing. And he's like a true blue Zig Ziglar fan. He's we've got it on video. He said, you never would have heard of Seth Godin if it hadn't been for Zig Ziglar. Mm-hmm. Why? Because when he was launching his first company, he listened to dad's material literally 3 hours a day. Why? Because the voice in his head was saying, you're not ready. Are you sure? You're not good enough. What if it doesn't work? And so he had to replace that with this input, right? That's why I said one of the choices to get out of fear is we choose the right input. Mm-hmm. So Seth talked about Ambien, and Ambien is a sleep aid, and the problem is it has horrible side effects. You sleepwalk, people on video, they've caught them mowing the yard while they were asleep. If you ever hear of an incident on an airplane, well, if we were flying again, you'd probably hear them, where somebody, some celebrity acts totally out of character on an overnight flight. They probably took Ambien, right? Mm-hmm. And so they did this study, and the study said, well, how much extra sleep do you get when you take Ambien with all these side effects? 17 minutes was all. So why do people love Ambien? Why would you risk everything for 17 minutes? This is brainwave, you know, sleep study. And they said, well, it's because the number one property of Ambien is it's an amnesiac. Mm. So if you take it at 9 o'clock at night and then you wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning and your first thought is, I can't remember anything. I must have slept all night. And so you've immediately, your mind has given your brain the instruction, I got my first good night of sleep in months. I'm going to do great today. And so how do you behave? You have a great day. You've got more energy than you can imagine. Meanwhile, the videos shows that you're up all night cooking and doing all kinds of stuff. It's the story you tell yourself.
Yeah, and just, I'm going to disclaim it. Tom and I don't want you all going to take Ambien so you're like, yes, I can get more done. I know some of you, you're like, oh, yes, now I could, you know, I get my workout in and not even remember it and wake up with a six-pack. No, don't, no, no, just say no. If you believe that, you need to go back and listen to my show I did with Dave Asprey, because Dave and I spent a lot of time talking about good sleep, you know, and Dave's doing a big study on sleep. So it's awesome. Tom, let's talk about your day. One of the things I love to ask our high achieving guests like yourself is, what does your day look like? Because I think a lot of people would imagine that there's a big component of it, that you have a lot of the rituals, you know, and getting ready and so on and so forth. So what does your day look like?
Yeah. And this is something I talk about in the book, Choose to Win. I call it the perfect start. And I think everybody needs what I call the perfect start. And this is based on a simple saying, you either happen to life or life happens to you. I mean, that's really it. And so what do we want? We want to happen to life, right? We want to set the stage. And so my day begins very early, usually 5 o'clock, a little bit earlier. And I do what you talked about. I started off with the quiet time. And I do Two Chairs. My good friend, Bob Bodine, who wrote the book Two Chairs. It's kind of cool. You have one chair for you and one chair for God. And it's a little bit different because in this time you ask God three questions. God, do you know what's going on? Are you big enough to handle it? And the third question is, what's the plan? And so I really like to just sit there and receive. A lot of times, and whether you're a person of faith or not, a lot of times we think this quiet time is about reading a devotional and learning something new and really intensely thinking about something. I think we all need to take time to just receive. What are the messages that are coming that we need to pay attention to? And then after that, I'll do my reading. You know, I read some scripture. I read a devotional. Then I'll do my kind of my learning reading or, you know, inspirational. I will get into my performance planner and schedule the day and go through that, making sure that everything's there. A couple of times a year, I'll do my 66 days of gratitude. I know you do 210 every day. I do something for 66 days in a row where I will write down three things the first day. And then the second day, three new things that I'm grateful for that's not a repeat of the first day. And I add three a day for 66 days in a row. So it's almost 200. And the reason, this is the nerd, okay, the reason I picked 66 days is because when they did all the studies on habit, that was about the length of time to really concrete in, set in a habit that if you didn't do it, you would miss it. Mm-hmm. Now, the neuroscience behind it is the majority of your people, our brain is wired to look for the negative, to look for things that can hurt us and harm us and cause us injury. And that's just the way we are. And that was important when, you know, we lived in a hostile environment. And so what I'm trying to do is to train my mind to look for the positive. And when you do that exercise for 66 days, or you do it every day, the 10, I love that. What happens then is when you're out and about and it's raining and it's kind of awkward and you see the little flower popping up anyway, that's what you see, right? So that's an exercise. And then I'll do what I call a mental model, and that is I'll look at my schedule and I will look at the appointments, the presentations, the Zoom calls, whatever it is where I've got to serve someone else. And I'll do a 60-second mental model and I'll say, hey, I'm going to be on this podcast with Susan. You know, who is her audience and what would benefit them and what's the main message need to be? How can I prepare? What is it that we can do? And I kind of go through those and I'm creating these slots in my mind so that when I enter into that, whatever direction it goes, I'm better prepared. So it works great on a sales call. It works great on a date, you know, whatever the situation is, if you just put that 60 seconds of thought in it, and if you got something big coming up, think about it, you know, do that every day for a few days. Your mind will work on it while you're asleep. And then when the curveball comes, you're ready for it. It could go in a totally different direction, but you'll handle it better. Mm-hmm. And then, so that takes it for me, all that takes about 45 minutes. And then the next 45 minutes is the one thing. What's the one thing I need to get done that day? Mm-hmm. So my perfect start's about 90 minutes, sometimes longer. But for those who haven't done anything like this, I didn't start that way. I started with 10 minutes, just a little bit of prayer and meditation, a little bit of positive input, a little bit of planning today. And then it grew, right? So the perfect start actually creates time in your life.
It's beautiful. I love that. And the 45 minutes on the one thing, like Jay Keller's book, The One Thing, I've read,
stole it right from there.
That book is amazing, and I definitely want to have him on the show. It's interesting, Tom, because all of the high achievers who I interview, This is a clue for the listeners and viewers. They start their day the same way. That would be a clue, right? And it's this waking up early that no one, Dave Asprey didn't say it. You didn't say it. All the other guests I've had don't wake up and start scrolling Instagram. It's that quiet time, grounding yourself, getting your hair on straight. That would be me. Your hair on straight, your head on straight. And the two chairs, that's amazing. I love what Joel Osteen said. And again, you know, we have people, you know, it doesn't matter what someone ascribes to you. It's just my favorite quote of his. Prayer is when we're talking to God. Meditation is when we're listening. Yeah. And there are a lot of people out there who will pray when they want something, but they don't listen. It's like the story I shared earlier with, you know, God just putting that name on my heart, reach out to this woman today. Right? And so you don't know. And the gratitude, I've had people say, and I challenge myself to do 10 new things every day. So I can't do the ones I did the day before. I'm just weird and, you know, geeky. I just like challenge myself. And I've had people say, well, I can't find 10 things to be grateful for. And I'll say, well, that's your fundamental problem because you're seeing the world that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a roof over your head? Do you have, when you turn on a tap, does water come out? Because I know you've traveled extensively, and as have I, you go somewhere where there's no running water, where you see little children, you know, going through a big pile of garbage looking for food, or driving down, you know, a road in Malawi where they're selling 3 mice on a stick or 6 mice on a stick at the side of the road, and that's what people are going to eat. Like, you know, we're so blessed. It's like, man.
You said something about, you know, a lot of times prayer, we're just asking for things. There's a visual that I put in my head. And I remember when my daughter, she was like five or six years old. And sometimes she would come and get in my lap. And then like within a minute, she'd be like, can I have some ice cream? And I know I was being played, right? And other times she would come sit in my lap and I'm like 4 or 5 minutes in, why are you here? Oh, I just want to be close to you. Well, at that very moment, I'd have bought her the ice cream store, right? Whatever you want, I'm going to give. Okay. And I think since I believe that our relationship with God, it's a personal relationship, you know, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. And to me, that's really what, you know, that meditation's, hey God, I just want to be close to you.
Yeah.
Right. And if our kids who we love so much, if they come to us and they just say, I just want to sit in your lap. I just want to be close to you. What do you think the Father's heart is going to be for you?
Yeah. Yeah. That time. And I don't, you know, I can't emphasize it enough that I have never known anyone who wakes up and scrolls their social media or watches a ton of news that is achieving at the same level as someone who's starting their day, being mindful, being deliberate, being allowing themselves to just have that relationship, that communion. And then, like you said, you know, maybe it's 10 minutes of news. I maybe twice a day I swipe right on my iPhone and I look at the headlines. I'm like, good. You know, someone once said there's a massive difference between information and inundation and the people out there that are just allowing themselves to be inundated, you know, with an election poll or the new COVID levels or, you know, all these different things that are happening in the world. It's just amazing to me. And then they go out and want to achieve and they're paralyzed and stuck because it's like they're taking the baggage of the world on their shoulders. Final question for you. And I want to allow everyone, our viewers and listeners, to connect with you. Something a little fun. So, you know, here we are, someone's, you know, watching, listening, you know, live. There are about maybe, you know, 15 weeks left in the year. What's something that you would like to accomplish before the end of the year that people might be surprised about?
Oh, wow. Well, when is this going to air?
I have to look at our show schedule to be honest. I have an amazing team. Thank you God for them. They handle all of that. So
Okay.
let's pretend there are 3.5 months left.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I'll give you some inside scoop. A young man came to speak to me about my daughter. And so something could be in the works fairly soon.
Wow.
So what I would like to accomplish, provided that goes through, which I think we'll know in the next week or so, based on estimations, is planning and the wedding. It could happen this year, probably going to happen the first part of next year. So that's a big deal in the Ziegler household. So that's a personal, I'm just putting it out there. That's a personal thing.
As they would say in the South, I've got chill bumps, Tom.
But my daughter is in the other room, so I had to say it a little bit quiet because
Well, that is a surprise, and for her too. So, I won't say a thing, I promise.
everybody's listening. You see what happens when you ask the right kind of questions. You get answers that'll take you to places you never knew.
Well, and thank you for sharing that. I'm gonna hold a space for your baby girl. Tom and I have daughters that are very close in age, and so I know the reciprocal will be happening at some point in the not too distant future, I imagine. Well, Tom, for me, I'll just share with you. I always feel like the show's like a fireside chat. So, when I was a little kid, my dad, I was raised by a single dad, an engineer, philosopher, amazing man. And he said, one day, Susan, you'll go to MIT. Well, that was a good goal until I failed calculus in first year of university. At MIT, they value calculus quite a bit. And so here I am, almost 50, and I am studying part-time at MIT. So I have to confirm, I think I have 4 credits left to finish. I'm doing a certificate in management leadership with a focus on artificial intelligence and machine learning. And my dad turned 80 last December, and I want to finish it before his 81st birthday so my dad can say my daughter graduated from MIT, even though she failed university calculus. So that's my personal one.
How awesome is that?
Yeah, we'll have to have lots of geeky conversations. Well, Tom, I can't thank you for being here. And if you're watching on YouTube, I am the one, not a staff person, who responds to all your comments. So please do comment if you've listened on iTunes, Spotify. Tom and I would love a 5-star review. Share on your social, tag us on your social. Tom, there are amazing resources on the website and the newsletter. Tom took me under the hood. He showed me the newsletter that he had been working on and sent out to his mailing list. It was so beautiful, concise tips. Don't worry, it's not like, 15,000 words that you get in your email inbox, but let's talk about how to connect. What's the best way?
Yeah, so if you go to Ziegler.com, we give away a lot of free gifts, and one of them is that newsletter. There's some downloads, some audios, some things like that. So if you have ever wanted to have your own Zig Ziglar's most famous speech, that's one of the gifts that we give away. And I'm kind of weird. I give out my email. So if you have a question about anything, just email me. And this is an easy one. It's tom@ziegler.com. So.
Well, you heard it. Tom@ziegler.com, and just go to ziegler.com and sign up for the newsletter, get the gifts. Tom, thank you so much for being here. I just love your heart, and I knew that you were the right person to help people navigate through this incredible crisis. And I love all of the strategies you gave. You are absolutely incredible.
Well, thank you so much, Susan. What a blessing, and I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Well, thank you. And everyone listening, just go out there and rock your day. God bless. You're absolutely amazing. You can check out this episode and other episodes at thesusanslideproject.com. And so with that, go on and rock it. And we will see you on the next episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another epic episode of the Susan Sly Project. For more tips, strategies, and ideas, visit www.susansly.com.